I'm thankful they left these up here this morning because I was kind of hoping they would be. I wanted to do something else with the sticks before we got, there's just like a lot of things in Scripture, you never get exhausted all. But if you look at these sticks, I don't know, have you ever thought about them guys going out and finding their stick? Can you imagine them saying, all right, you're going to represent our tribe and you go get our stick? And what they'd have been looking for. But here's the thing, one of the most beautiful things I didn't say this morning to me about this whole thing, is let's say you got 12 sticks. Here's a stick, it's crooked and it's busted. It's got bad cracks in it. Knots all over it. Looks like it's been through it. Here's a nice stick that's smooth. But here's the beautiful thing about it is, God didn't say only walnuts will work. Only oaks. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter whether you're tall, short, big, round, or skinny. That was not the criteria. The criteria was the name of Aaron on the stick. You know, that's the thing that it wasn't the beautifulness of the stick or the ugliness of the stick. Just needed the right name on it. Boy, if that's not a picture of the gospel. For God so loved the world. He so loved the world. It doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, what your race is, your nationality, your country. It just matters whether the name of Jesus is on you. And I kind of left that out this morning. I wanted to get that. Also, something I left out, Jesus is called both the branch and the rod, and a rod in Scripture, in the Old Testament. He's the rod of Jesse, the branch of David. And so those are actual words that describe the Lord Jesus in other passages of Scripture. I want you to go to 2nd. Now, just hold that number so you know where we're at there in chapter 17 about it. But go to 2 Peter chapter 1 tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't know how this is going to go. We'll leave that up to the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. Years ago, Karen and I planted. How many of you, rest of you have done this? We get these catalogs in the mails. Sparks Brothers. Is it Sparks Brothers? Starks. Stark Brothers. Nursery. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. Now, they got photographers, ain't they? It doesn't matter what kind of tree or vegetable or fruit it is. Boy, I'm going to tell you. I've never seen a shriveled up sorry one in their catalog yet. And but anyway, we ordered, I don't know, 15 or 20 fruit trees. And we have one of the most rockiest farms in the country. I mean, you can't even stick a electric fence post in the ground without hitting rock out there. And the boys, they know all about digging out there in that part of the country. You dig to plant trees, you dig with bars and shovels and hoes and stuff like that. It's hard. But anyway, we planted some fruit trees. And some of them did pretty good. But you know, every so often you look out there in the spring and you'll see one that there ain't no buds coming on. At one time it bore fruit and it had fruit on it. But it seemed like fruit trees will die on you if you ain't careful. They're not that hardy or something, seems like, you know. And I've always respected people. I went and preached revival out in the apple capital of the world in Washington. I mean, what's the name of that town? Huh? That don't sound... Anyway, they call it the apple capital of the world out there. And it's just, hills are just full of apple orchards everywhere. And boy, I admire and respect those people because, you know, it's nice for me to be able to go to the grocery store and buy an apple any time of the year. And I don't know how them people do that, but boy, it's nice. And they know what they're doing. And so in the Bible, a lot of times it talks about trees, vines, fruit, so forth. But here's something I want you to read in verse number 4. 2 Peter 1 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, See, that's what happened to you when you got saved. You were given a divine nature. That's that new person, Jesus Christ, born again of the Spirit, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And that's always amazed me, that God wants you to add virtue before he wants you to add all kinds of Bible knowledge. Because there's a lot of preachers who are seminary graduates and been preaching for a lot of years that go down through a lack of virtue. It ain't a lack of Bible knowledge, it's a lack of virtue that'll get you. God puts that in front. He said, you add to your faith virtue, and then to add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Then it says something interesting. Now, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I think bothers any Christian, any person that's saved, I believe this all my heart, that the Spirit of God dwells within, there's a new creature in Christ, desires to be fruitful. Now, I will tell you this about what the Lord's doing, and Brother Barry, I appreciated the lesson this morning. Oh, Jim, I messed up this morning. R.A. is teaching next Sunday. I now hadn't written it in, and I'd already talked to him, but I want you to take 2 Sundays. R.A.'s teaching, then Paul's got 2 weeks, and then I want you to have 2 weeks, okay, after, so you'll have to figure that out, get with me. But it's R.A. and then Paul 2 weeks, and then you 2 weeks. And guys, I need you to get lined up on Sunday school class. But he was teaching about having something you could look back to see the mighty hand of God in your life and answer prayer and so forth. And then he touched into this thing about when God doesn't answer prayer, and that as you grow in the grace of the Lord, God kind of backs away from the big hoopla stuff, and it just becomes that there, what did Brother Larry Brown call it? Mush in the bag. It's just every day, keeping steady, just the same old thing, keeping on, keeping on. And but the fruit, here's what I'm going to get to. When I first started preaching, I had a keen understanding that to me there's just a lot of things I saw in churches I just didn't think was right. And I'll tell you, I was telling this to somebody the other day, I would go preach a revival meeting, and you'd have to wade through the cigarette smoke on the front porch to get into most revival meetings. The deacons all out there smoking. And that just really, really bothered me. And I not having any more sense than that, I would preach on smoking. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, as I said the other night, at Wednesday night, they got all kinds of stuff. I mean, they'd tell me, they'd say, Kelly, it ain't what goes in the mouth, but what comes out. And boy, I mean, they got all their scriptures lined up and so forth, you know. But anyway, why I just felt like that was a deal there. But as early time of preaching, I'd preach on smoking. And, you know, still do. If you're smoking, I think y'all stop. Amen. I think it's bad for you. But it's bad for your health, but it's bad for your testimony, too. And drinking and all that kind of stuff. And so I preach on drinking. I still preach on drinking. I think drinking is horrible. I think you ought to be a teetotaler. I think you stay away from it. Now, if you got a bad cold and can't get over it, then you should take 3 or 4 shots of brandy and get well and then go on. No, I'm just teasing. No, I'm just teasing. But here's what I'm trying to get to. I would preach more on the externals. Dress. I believe you ought to dress right, and I'm not joking you. I'll tell you, that dress is an outward manifestation of the real problem inside. I mean, I'm telling you something. The Holy Spirit is not stupid. And to wipe that off your radar screen and act like it doesn't matter, that's very dangerous and very foolish to do that. But I'd preach more on the externals. Finally, after a few years, the Lord began to show me that I didn't preach much on internals. Now, I'm talking about fruit here. Because we like to have a tendency to think that, you know, if we dress right, hair's right, and, you know, you don't have whiskers. And anyway, I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding. All you guys, you can't believe. There's a lot of stuff people preach on externals, all right? You go, this group believes this. I'm telling you something. I'll be honest with you. There are Baptist churches that if you have a mustache, you don't come in. Yeah. You got a hair on your face, you're out. Just the way it is, okay? I mean, there may be other churches like that. I don't know. I just happen to know about that a little bit. What I'm saying is that you got to really watch out getting really keyed in on externals. Because I'm going to tell you, we're talking around the kitchen table today. You can wear a dress down to your ankles, have your hair up in a bun, long enough don't go down to your back waist and be as mean as Jezebel to your husband. Okay? The thing that the Lord began to show me, and God uses children in an amazing way to show you your lack of spirituality. And one thing that God really has dealt with me over the years is the lack of genuine fruit of the Spirit. And so what happens is because we are deficient and sinful in those areas that can't be seen by the public so quick and easy, we heft up those externals that we can show pretty easy. And I think that's a really, and so tonight what I want to do is I want to talk, you know, we can talk about fruit, but I want to talk about some things that the Bible speaks of, and I want you to get in on this thing a little bit. But I'll just give you this. Let's look some scriptures. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And then what I want you to be thinking about is I want you to very briefly, now I don't want to get very briefly when I open the door here pretty soon, I want you to be able to say, to me, this is evidence of a fruit of a Christian. This is the fruit of a true Christian to me. And here's what's going to happen. As we have all the different spiritual gifts in a church house, what will happen? We'll see a balanced, you'll get about, you see a tree growing up, unless it's hindered in some way or another, a tree is balanced. Stalk of corn grows up, unless it's hindered, it'll be balanced. If we're not careful, we're way off balance over here about dressing, about dress and liquor and smoking and cussing and this, that, and the other. But we're way off balance about some things that we don't want to talk about that we're guilty of. I've always said this, it's not what a man preaches on that you want to really watch for, it's what he will not preach on that you want to watch for. When a person's testifying or they're a witness or they're discussing their Christian faith, it's what they don't talk about and don't want to discuss. I want to tell you this. There is right now, supposedly, if the statistics are right, there is an 80% mortality rate among the young people growing up in, quote, what would be called orthodox type Christian churches in America. 80% of them growing up in them, but by the time they're 30, they're not going to church at all, or they have jumped off into a cult somewhere. Why? I believe the main reason, and I believe I'll never probably discuss anything from this pulpit tonight any more important than this, I believe the main reason is because they're seeing an imbalance in the discussion and dealing with the true fruit of the Spirit in the lives of their own families, in the lives of their fellow, their brother and sister in Christ. And their spirit intuitively says something inside them, there's something wrong here. It's not right for a guy to look and act like he's real spiritual, but he blows his top all the time. Amen. It's not right for a guy to act like he's real spiritual, but he'll swing a deal. He'll lie for money. Won't tell the whole truth. And kids, I'm telling you, kids are extremely sharp at knowing what mom and dad is doing and not doing. They're extremely attentive to watch if they know dad's not telling the whole truth about a matter, or he's doing something to help himself financially, or he's lying about something. And what they see is then becomes Phariseeism, becomes hypocritical. And you hear, if they read the Bible and they see things and you're not living up, and I don't care whether it's the husband or the wife, whatever your role is according to Scripture, you better look at it, because that hypocrisy is what kills the faith in children. It's not seeing the true fruit of the Spirit. So as we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 16, the Bible says here, you shall know them by their fruits. Here he's talking about false prophets, of course. He said, verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Let's go to John chapter 15, of course, this great passage on the vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth fruit. Notice it's talking here about a branch of the vine. And he's talking about, first of all, there's fruit. Second of all, there's more fruit. He says, now you're clean through the words I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. So there's just a simple truth. Now, if we want to bring forth fruit in our life, true, genuine, biblical fruit, it's a simple matter of abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get a verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth. Here it is, much fruit. So fruit, more fruit, now it's much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. I can't bear this fruit on my own. I cannot jive it up inside. My flesh does not have it. Verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. This is how we glorify the Lord, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. He continues on down through there. And verse number 16, I'll just cut it down. Verse number 16, you have not chosen me. By the way, did he not choose Aaron there and choose Christ as our high? But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And then we can go to Galatians chapter 5. And I would encourage you to get your concordance and look up the word fruit, fruits, and so forth, and just do a personal study on that. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, of course, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there are fruits of righteousness, fruits of holiness. There's fruit such as winning souls. That there's kind of like an external fruit of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's inner fruit that we're going to look at here. Jesus said, go and bring forth much fruit. One of the things, why do we send out the gospel? Why do we put it out on the internet, put it out in the CD? Why do we do the projects that we do, trying to get the gospel out? We are trying to bear fruit of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, going forth and bringing forth fruit. But I'm not even, and I know, it's not that I'm not concerned about that. I am. We do a lot of it. You go to jailhouse. What are you trying to do? You're trying to bear fruit, okay? Witnessing, giving a tract, so forth, all these things. But here's the fruit I'm really interested in, because this is what can kill us. You can give tracts away to your blue in the face, and you ought to. We can send CDs out to the end of the world, and I'm glad we can, and internet and all that kind of stuff. I got internet messages this morning from Australia, and I don't know where all, Florida and stuff. And I'm thankful for the fruit that God has enabled this church to have. But the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 is love. Love. In order to understand love, I do not think there's a word in the world that's been more abused and misused than love in every way possible. It is, and the world confuses it and substitutes it for lust. It has nothing to do with love. God is love has been so abused. Even preaching about, even the preaching in the sense of love has been messed up. It seems like now if you preach on hell, you preach on sin, well, you don't love. You take a stand against things that are wrong, well, you don't love. When I have never understood that, because to me, the greatest essence of somebody loving you is telling you the truth. That's just to me, if they don't tell you the truth, I don't see how they can even sense that you love them. And but here's, let's look at, in order to understand love, we have to let the Bible define itself, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible says love is kind. Love is kind. So now we're going to open up tonight. Here we are. We're at the door. I want you to tell me how this fruit in our lives has affected you or affects you, so forth. If love is kind, what does that mean to us in a very practical way? If love is kind, where does it start? How many has ever experienced unkindness? What would you say? Give me some examples of unkindness. Yes. Tommy.
I've been unkind. I was unkind for many years and thought I was self-righteous. But the day that the Lord took my pride, took everything I had,
What are manifestations of not being kind in a personal way, right at your house, in your marriage, with your children, with your brothers and sisters? Bad temper.
Being able to talk kindly to other people, but not your spouse.
Exactly right. If we're not careful, we're nice to other people because we want the job, we want the financial benefits of it, or we don't want to lose the job. If we talk to our co-workers like we talk to our family members, we probably wouldn't be around the place we work very long. Sometimes. How do you manifest love in the sense of God said the first thing it is kind? How has it hurt you? How has it affected you? Did you know this, that unkindness can almost knock kids out of the faith? A lack of kindness? I mean, they could look around and say, they could say, you know what? If this is what Christianity is, I don't want it. Not even counting the hypocrisy of it that we wouldn't act that way in church. We wouldn't talk to anybody like that in church. We wouldn't jump up in the middle of church. Oh, I guess so. I've heard about people doing it. But we wouldn't jump up in church and let a brother or sister in the Lord have it. But we'll request a private meeting with them or something, and we'll let both barrels go. Did you know there are preachers who love the Lord. It has nothing to do with their faith. They're just so tired of it. And there's a lot of Christians out there like that. I want to encourage you tonight that, what do you think a Christian ought to be? So we're going to do this. You tell me, what's the fruit that ought to be on? I mean, we can all agree that the true branch that has life in it will bear fruit according to God. Can we all agree on that? All right. It'll bear fruit. So you tell me, what's the evidence that somebody has life in them? Yes. Okay. Forgiveness. Now we can get into a big subject right there. And I will tell you something that I think is off base. Remember I talked about balance a while ago? Bible says if a brother offends you and he come to you and repents, forgive you. But did you know you never hear that preached? All you ever hear preached is forgive, 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 forgive. But you never hear that other side preached in the Bible, because you know why some of you don't have things resolved in your life? Because you've forgiven, but you know there's something still wrong because that person has never come and asked you to forgive them and acknowledge they did wrong. And it is not right between you to this day, and it will never be right. And you know it. Now, can you release? Yes, you can. And there's a level of release that you have to. You don't hang on to it. If you do, you're in trouble, okay? But the truth about it is, a lot of people wonder, well, Reggie, I forgave, and I want to forgive, and I don't have a problem about that and all that stuff, but, I just keep battling, it keeps issue. But did you know what? You know what has to happen? Remember me preaching a message when forgiveness won't work? You can pour it all out if you want to, but when their hands ain't there to catch it, they don't ever catch it, it goes on the ground. But forgiveness is an absolute fruit of Christianity. It's the very basis of how our salvation comes, is forgiveness of sin. And if there's anything Jesus taught, it's forgiving. And he gives some great, great teaching on that about the man who, went out. Don. Okay. What he's talking about is the fruit of second mile.
And I've got.
And this is fruit, this is Christianity. Go ahead. Amen. Watch this. Paul said something. He said, why don't you allow yourself to be defrauded? Defrauded means be cheated. Somebody took you. How many's been taken? It's everywhere. You haven't done any business if you haven't been taken. All right? But let me just show you how fast something like that can hit. I bought a new chainsaw here a while back. Very expensive chainsaw. It's supposed to be, the top. I'm cutting wood a couple of days ago, and I noticed my blade's getting hot. I said, man, that ain't right. I just put oil in it a while ago. It was getting hotter. I shut her down. Open the oil deal up, look in it. It's got sawdust in the oil deal. Deal off the, you know, wood chips off the cut. I'm like, good land, how'd that get in there? Well, I look around the side, and it's had a hole knocked in it. And I'm thinking, I don't remember hitting anything. And I was really aggravated. $1,100 chainsaw. I ain't owned it but about 30 days, probably. Maybe 45, I don't know. And I'm looking at that, and I thought, you know what? That thing ain't built any better than that. That's pretty sorry. So I'm hoping maybe there's a warranty on it. I take it down to the shop. I mean, that boy didn't hardly give me three sideways looks. Well, that ain't no good, and that's going to cost an arm and a leg, about like buying a new saw. So you need to go up and talk to the owner. So I go up to the owner, you know. And this is an old truth. All the help in there came in there to look at this saw. We've never seen that before. Man, you've hit the daylights out of that thing. Basically, the whole bunch started telling me how hard I had hit the saw. And I'll tell you what, that didn't go over me real good. I said, I'll tell you what, that's fine, guys. I'll just set it up on a shelf to remind myself I won't buy this kind of saw no more. That was real spiritual, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't feel very good. You know what? And it wasn't that I was all, because I do not know what happened to it. I know something. I said, guys, listen, it's hit something. You don't do that. You don't knock a hole like that through metal unless it's hit something. But I don't know what happened. That's what I'm at. Another thing I just want to know, is there a warranty on it? But I'm going to be honest with you. My spirit was not right. This is what people's watching for. You know, I mean, just in my spirit, my spirit wasn't right. You know what it amounts to? Does anybody understand what that amounts to? Right there. Right there. And here's what happens with me. Now, this is just me. A lot of times, I will put my testimony on the line, as it were, sacrifice my testimony, justify my actions, but my spirit gets wrong. And this is an area where God's dealing with me about. That's just an example. Love is kind. It's willing to be defrauded. You know, I don't know what's going to happen on the deal. The guy really turned out pretty nice. He said, hey, Reggie, I want you to leave this with me. I'm going to do some checking on this. There's something about this weird. He said, we've never had a saw this happen to before. And, you know, and I just said to Ty, I said, I know it sounds like a lie, but I don't remember hitting nothing. I just saw it and the blade got hot. You know, but I could be wrong. Maybe I did something. Maybe I had it sitting down somewhere. Maybe something fell. I don't know, but something sure happened to it. But here, do you know what the deal was? I caught myself having an attitude of trying to angle it where the company was going to be liable. Just fishing for that way that I could frame it in my mind where the company could be liable. You know what the truth about it is? I was the one out there. It's my saw. It happened under my care. I'm responsible, really and honestly. But, you know, if we're not careful, we'll go out and we get a little hot or aggravated or have a little attitude. And what it does, it hurts our testimony. And the fruit, the blossoms ain't. That stick looks pretty dead. Yes, Phil. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. You chase the money trail for your attitude. Okay, we're talking about kindness. By the way, I want to remind everybody that next Saturday is Valentine's Day. Put this down in your soul. It's not so much that you'll do something wrong, say something wrong, have a wrong attitude, but I'm telling you something, if you will come back and say, you know what, I wasn't right about that. My attitude wasn't right. I often think about when Uncle Bud Robinson was riding on a train to a revival meeting. Uncle Bud Robinson had his tickets and he wanted to make sure that he's going to get him where he's going to go. He took him tickets and shoved them under the window to the lady there. And he said to her, he said, now these tickets will get me to so-and-so, won't they? And she looked at him and said, no, they won't get you there. He said, I believe you better look at them again. He said, I believe they will. They told me they would. She said, sir, they won't get you there. And boy, he got huffy because that meant he had all kinds of problems. He said, believe you better look at them again. And he said, I got hot with her. And he said, you know, before I walked up there and got all hot, he said, the birds was singing in my soul and the honeysuckle was growing on my heart and the bees was a-buzzing from heaven. But he said, after my little confrontation with that woman, he said, I walked away. He said, I noticed there was a stillness in my soul. The joy was gone. And this is why it mentions joy after it mentions love. There's a precise order in Scripture. Because here's what I'm convinced of. Now, I'm not trying to be honoring. But, buddy, I'll tell you something. I don't care whether it's in church or at an auction. You get up in front of a crowd, people ain't, they're not happy. By and large, people are not very joyful in this world. I mean, there's a, you know, and I'm not trying to say, but I believe we at least ought to have a pleasantness about us or a pleasant look on our face because we are very, very blessed. And here's what I'm wondering. If joy is a fruit and it's not coming, it must be because love's not there like it ought to be. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you this much. When the Bible said that the power of life and death is in the tongue, it means it. Words are so damaging. I'm going to tell you something. Be really, really careful. Number one, your words can be taken totally out of context than what you meant from your heart, especially if the person has got an issue with you already. Okay? You can almost expect, I've got to where I almost expect it. That's why I just do not have any conversations because it's going to be taken out of whack. It's going to come back around to me totally in a different framework than what, you know, was meant to be. Words are very, very dangerous. And I'll tell you something. You can say, well, you know, that old deal, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's one of the biggest lie poems that ever was said. Words can hurt you. And this is one of the things about kindness. When the Bible talks about love is kind, kind words are very, very powerful. If kids don't grow up in kindness, and that's, again, I'm getting back to this thing. I don't want to talk about love and just a generic deal. Love is kind, and it says suffereth long. It puts up with people and 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 it puts up with people. It suffers long. Envieth not, vaunteth not itself, and so forth, and all those things. Not easily provoked. And this is the fruit that God wants us to be seen in. And I just be honest with you, I think what we do is we just have a battle to a point we just kind of give up and say, well, I'm just going to live my life and I am who I am and ain't nothing I can do about it. I really don't think that's good. I think we ought to press on into the throne of grace and say, dear God in heaven, I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm not so much concerned about great deep theological truths. If I can just get this simple thing down, that you'll bear the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Lord, that'd be a blessing. Now, what's the last fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? Anybody know? What's it say? Temperance. Did you know what that is? That's balance. Now, a lot of people will say that means self-control. I don't agree with that. It might be a manifestation of temperance, but it is not self-control. Self cannot control itself. Your flesh cannot control itself. Your flesh does not. There's no such thing in Christianity as self-control. Temperance. How many knows what tempered steel is? It's endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. On one end you have love, which is kind, suffereth long. On the other end, the fruit of the Spirit, you have temperance. And here's where I see an off balance. And the devil pushes this deal. He wants us to be so lovey-dovey that we don't stand for anything. We don't have temperance. We're not hard and tough where we need to be hard and tough. Let me tell you something. You should not compromise on sin. You should not compromise on doctrine. There are things where you need to be tempered to where you stand. By the way, temperance comes through the fire. Steel is tempered by fire, by heat, by pressure. And temperance comes through that. And it doesn't, you know, doesn't come along the first thing. A lot of Brother Barry mentioned this morning about, you know, the excitement of your first being saved and stuff. You take a Christian, if you let him know what he was going to go through 10 years from now in his Christian walk, he wouldn't get saved to start with. It's a good thing God don't tell you what you're going to face, the fire you're going to go through. But we need that temperance. We need that toughness. We need that strength. We need that hardness. I didn't say hard-hearted. I'm talking about enduring hardness as a good soldier of the cross. You stay with it. You don't get blown out. You don't just, you know, give up on God. You don't just, you know, let things blow you away. You need temperance. To where when those storms and that pressure and that heat and that fire and that trouble comes, that you just, you know, it is a fruit. You know what? He was mentioned this morning about answered prayer. You know what impresses me anymore? It's not those great big answered prayers. It's the person when God doesn't answer anything like I wanted him to answer it, and they just still say, I still trust him. When Job said, yea, shall we not receive good or shall not receive evil from the hand of the Lord? You know, basically it was saying, yea, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That is fruit. I'm telling you what this world needs to see is some Christian people, if they're broke financially, if they're sick as a dog, they still love the Lord Jesus Christ and they're not shaken up about things. They're just going to roll on with God. Amen. Thy will be done. Amen. Not my will be done. This is the fruit that people need to see. That's what they're watching for. They're watching for you to go broke and have a hard time financially and seeing how you respond. They're waiting for you to have trouble in your family and trouble in your health and all these things that go wrong, and they're wondering how you're going to respond to it. And it's the response. There's the fruit that most people are watching. But I'm just going to say this to you. Two of my grandsons stayed all afternoon, and we had a wonderful time. I was looking at the pictures, and when my kids were the size they were, and you know, they wanted me to chase them around the house and catch them and tickle them and chew their ears and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I'm 61. I'm not 33 now, you know. Anyway, we had a good time. But I thought a lot about, and I'm sure other fathers can relate to this, how short you are with your own children. You know what gets a lot of preachers' kids? Is watching the preacher talk sweet and be nice and hug and hold all the other kids in church. And then they're rough on their own kids at the house. I just want this thing to be real to us tonight because you know there's something about buds. How many of you noticed that there are buds out on the trees right now? Isn't that amazing? That's that life coming up through the ground of buds out there. You know what? And what's that do to you when you see buds on a tree? Oh, my land of living. Do you reckon if we had buds on our branch, it'd encourage other people? Okay, so now here comes the buds, here comes the blossoms. Well, that's one thing. You know, if I never get an apple or peach off our trees, I love to see the blossoms on. Those fruit trees are beautiful when they blossom. What does it do for you to see buds and then blossoms? What's blossoms? Does that do anything? Tell me something about blossoms tonight. Is that something like casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you? That kind of something like that. Casting all your care. You know, I have a fruit tree out there. He's never happy. Wintertime, he's not bearing fruit. He's all upset. Talks to me about it. By the way, worms can get in your fruit if you ain't careful. But what happens when the blossoms come out?
Fragrance.
Oh, there's a good fragrance around people that have the life in them. There's a beauty. There's a beauty to blossoms. I love the beauty of blossoms. There's a beauty to people. Let the beauty of his holiness, the Bible said, be upon us.
Function for the bees.
Huh? Oh, there's something for the bees. You know how dependent we are on bees to eat in this country? It's wild. Yes. Yeah, it just does something. I mean, how would you like to go out and no trees this year bud, and no trees bloom, and no trees blossom, and no trees bear nothing? Springtime comes and there's nothing. Well, we'd think something bad wrong with me. I'm just saying this. You know what? When I studied this thing about this branch, I said, Lord, I know I'm sorry and worthless, but dear God in heaven, it's not my life, it's your life. Lord, would you bear buds and blossoms and put some fruit on my life? How many has ever known somebody that just was godly? Just godly. Paul, turn your recorder off. You got her? Okay. It's not because what I'm saying is not true, or I just think there's some things you discuss in the family. But to me, I can remember when I was, you probably think I'm lying, but I'm not lying. I was either 2 or 3 years old the first time I ever remember Oscar and Gladys Cunningham down at Oak Forest Church. I can remember him talking to me as a little bitty kid, just about the size some of these kids come up here, even smaller. And I remember through the years, you know, going to camp and going to Bible school. They used to have big Bible schools down at Skyline School stuff. And it just seemed like he was always so nice and encouraging. And it just seemed like there was this fruit of righteousness there. But can I tell you something? That there was a lot of tension in that family. And I've said at Oscar's hospital bed when his own son was sitting there. And I studied the situation. And for years, his son actually didn't even hardly follow the faith at all. And I thought about that. When his son did come back to the faith, it was in totally different direction. And he was saying stuff there to his dad that I knew his dad couldn't hardly stomach. But he was gracious to his son. He was good to his son. But there was nothing there. I would encourage you tonight, don't go out and talk about this. Okay, I'm trying to help us tonight. Please don't go out and say, well, I heard Reggie say blah, blah. What I'm telling you this is for, Oscar's in heaven, and God will judge me about what I'm saying and not saying. Okay? But you know what I've decided? That it probably was hard on those kids to watch he and their daddy and their mother fawn over and pour over children at camp and Bible school and be so nice to them and be so encouraging to them and then have to deal with them at home in a different way. Because, you know, while you're at church and so forth and being so nice to them, that's not living with them and that's not raising them and that's not training them. And they need a father who trains and raises them. But if you're not careful, Satan will point out to you what your daddy or your mama is. And he'll point out to you somebody who you're not with all the time and you think they're spiritual. And you think they're nice. And if you're not careful, it will poison your spirit. But you know, the thing that I personally have decided that I hope, another thing is the love and the joy. There ought to be joy in Christian people's lives. There's something inside me that says, you know what, if I'm saved and going to heaven, have a heavenly Father, Jesus lives within me, He's my Savior, I ought to have some joy about me. And I'm telling you, I want us tonight to pray for love, that God, please produce the love of God in me. Lord, produce the joy of the Lord within me. Lord, peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, peaceableness about us. By the way, you can multiply Oscar's deal by millions or thousands across the world. One of the greatest groups that lose their children to rank wickedness is missionaries' children. One of the greatest groups that absolutely lose their children, totally lose them into just deep depravity is missionary kids. They're so irritated of what they feel like they've had to sacrifice everything so mom and dad could be on the mission field. By the way, a lot of missionaries have been taught that they're to sacrifice their kids to go to the mission field, and I disagree with that. I do not think that's biblical at all. Your first flock is your family. And if it won't work in your family, what makes you think it'll work over there somewhere else? But the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I don't want to run from things, and I went to a funeral here about 4 or 5 years ago, and I watched a strange thing on a son. I watched a son act a very peculiar way with his father in the casket. A man was talking to me after the funeral, and I said, something don't seem right there. And he said, Reggie, it wasn't right. Wasn't right. He said he could never please his father in any way, shape, or form. It didn't matter what he did. It was never good enough. He said, what you saw is the grief of a son leaving his father as far as he could go this world and grieving because he never was able to make his daddy happy. He was never good enough for his dad, no matter how. And by the way, he was a good kid, as far as I knew. Very accomplished, very respectful, I was like, you kidding me? Oh, no, Reggie. There was huge tension between him and his son. You just never know. And what I want to say this tonight is that I decided years ago, and, you know, my kids sit and listen to stuff, but we were talking about treasures and riches this afternoon there before dinner. And I said to the boys, I said, the greatest treasure to me is to be able to sit and talk with you boys in truth and reality. Nothing's off limits. We can talk about spiritual things. We can talk about problems. We can talk about this, that, and have an open communication with each other about it. And I do not want, and I will say this to my kids, Sarah got married, and Sarah's like her mom. She was, but I tell you, Sarah, you can't believe what you're getting married has done to me of thinking about how much more time I should have spent with you. Love is kind. Love takes time. But you know, we're none of us are perfect. What I want is, and what I'm trying to convey tonight, and probably I'll shut up and go home. We ought to want. That true fruit be born in our lives. Did you know what? It's not about so much when we die stuff. It's not going to be about so much these externals as it was. What were we like truly? What were we like one to another? What did we leave in the way of a legacy of the fruit of the life of Jesus Christ? Was that fruit born in us? And this business of hollering, going into rages and having spells and fits, they leave marks on people. And I just want to encourage us. I guess I'm at a stage in my life where I want our children to know that they truly had a biblical, Christian, Christ-like home and family that they were raised in. That's what I'd like for us to see. And, you know, I don't know. That's just where I'm at. I'm not very worried about everybody who's smoking anymore. I'm just honest with you. And I'm kind of to the attitude of, you know, I'll work on their smoking quick as I get my anger taken care of. Anybody got anything you want to say tonight? Everybody had about all this you can stomach? Yes. You know, I don't know. Just I'm not trying to be sentimental. I'm not trying to be nothing tonight. I just, other than the fact, when I studied on this thing and realized that that stick that truly had the identification of Jesus Christ on it as a picture of conversion bore fruit. And if it didn't bear fruit, there was something wrong. And the kind of fruit that we need to bear is not so much externals as it is the internals of love, joy, and peace. And I tell you, our homes need to be places of peace. But getting back to this thing of temperance, I'll just give you an example. I've said many times, one of the greatest ways I knew that my dad loved me is when he was temperate about discipline. And as I look back, I'm glad he held the line. I'm glad he didn't go in and say, well, I love you too much to whip you, you know. You know, or he never did have that problem, did you, Daddy? He said a word there, are looks. You ever heard the phrase, looks can kill? Boy, I tell you, watch that. If you ain't careful, you're proud of how mean you can look. You bite and devour one another. Sister. Amen. I don't want to bore about this, but I will tell you this, as far as my personal experience in life, I had one key event when the kids are growing up that forever, ever, God has never let me get away from. And that's whenever I had come home and, you know, you always got the excuse if you got so much pressure on, you know, and just for years I'd sell people out and I'd you know, people were going through bankruptcy and everything, divorce and death and everything, and you just feel like there's this pressure. Well, you come home if you ain't careful, and you've been smiling at the crowd all day. And being careful, you come home and you're so wore out, and you're so, the tension is just, it's like that, you know. I never will forget, I was in the milk, went out there milking, and Zach, I don't know what you did. Do you know what you did? It must have been something terrible, son. It must have been terrible. But I never will forget. And you talk about stupid, and you talk about hypocrisy and Phariseeism trying to cover something up. I told him to go outside and pray about it. That's what you do. Just go outside and pray. I don't know why. I never did that before in my life and haven't since, you know, but I don't know why I did that night. And we finished up milking, Nathan and Ben, and I shut the lights off and headed to the house, got the house in that mobile home, walked up there in the mobile home up the steps in the room, boot room, took all the boots and stuff. And Karen said to me, where's Zach? And at that moment, it dawned on me, good land of living, where is he? And I put my boots on and ran back out the barn, and he was knelt down in the dead, in the mire, is a good word to put it, next to the barn, still in a kneeling position. I didn't know where he'd went out there. And I knelt down beside him to get him, and he was numb. He couldn't stand up. He was obeying his daddy. And I have never in my life been so smitten by God. It's like God, it's almost like God was standing there with the sword saying, if you don't make that right with him, I'll kill you. And I can tell you for sure what the Lord spoke to my heart. If you don't be honest and get that right, you will lose him. And he was 5 years old. I can tell you exactly how old he was. And I never will forget, I picked him up and I got down on the ground like this and I looked right in his eyes and I said, Zachary, Daddy was wrong. Daddy sinned against you. And he nodded his head. He knew. He knew I had done what I had done in anger and in disregard of his life. And I never will forget, I asked him, I said, Zach, would you forgive Daddy? And he nodded his head and just throwed his arms around me and put his head against my shoulder, and I picked him up and carried him to the house. Zach, I'm still sorry. That brings back to me the sorriness and the wickedness of a heart. How could you do somebody so, how could you do a kid so dirty? And be so selfish about what's going on in your life that you don't know how it's going to affect somebody else. And, you know, I just remember thinking, Lord, I'd like to lead a lot of people to the Lord, but Lord, I don't want to lose my own family in the process. And what I'm saying is this, that we need to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Anyway, let's. Anybody else got anything else before we go home? I know this is probably kind of a weird service and things like that, but all right. Yes, Brother Don. Oh, Brother John Ketchum, his brother-in-law back in Illinois, and also Carla Morris, pastor's wife down here at Mountain Grove, has got a brain tumor. She's going to be operated on. And at the Calvary Temple, Brother Morris's wife, just Brother Bob found out today. So let's pray for both of them tonight as we go home. And let me say something to you tonight. I don't want you to go home down. I'm serious. I don't want you to go home down. You know what? If I look at myself, I am discouraged. It's enough to bring you to tears when you look back and see how sorry and low down and wicked we've been. But you know, I want to look to Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why I'm at church tonight. I want to get some help and get some grace this week, maybe go and do a better job. But you know, I just want him to live through me and produce that fruit in me. And I'm kind of stumbling on Mary. Yeah, boy. Amen. That's a good. Blossoms are earnest of the fruit that's going to come. Well, let's pray that God will bear that fruit in our lives and it'll be real. You know, I just don't want these kids growing up in church thinking it was a joke. Amen. I just want them to know it's real, you know. And please tonight, don't think I was talking negatively about Brother Oscar. I wasn't. I just trying to be honest with you because it really affected me. I want to tell you something. When you're a preacher and you're sitting in the hospital room with another preacher and you're seeing tension between him and his son, you wonder, is this the way it's going to be with me and my son? And what do I need to do to make sure that doesn't happen? Now, if they go off the deep end, there's nothing you can do about it. That's one thing. Anyway, let's stand together tonight, and I appreciate you being here.